So my talk today is not going to be a lesson in the church or the Bible or anything else. It's just sort of how I came to this point and what I thought, why there's a weird order today, that I give you an introduction as to how I got here, and then we'll have our biblical readings, and then I'll give the service. So couple background issues. One, spoiler alert, I am gay, so just get that out front. I know, shock.
It's about time you came out of the closet.
Exactly. Just take this time right now to let you all know. But in background-wise, I was raised in a very typical conditional love family. Where me and my brothers knew that if we made mom mad, that we wouldn't get the I love you at the end of her sentences. If you're a good kid, you say, good night, love you, good night, love you, good night. You're the one. So it's a way that Jamie and I really focus on not raising our kids, but it was how I grew up. Also, I was raised as a grandma Catholic, which means every time grandma came to visit, we were Catholic. So, and grandmas came often enough that we were at church often enough that I understood that our family was a Catholic family, and I understood all the Catholic guilt, but I didn't really know much more about the church. But I knew that that's what we were supposed to be. Growing up, I didn't have a great knowledge of different religions, but I knew that there were sort of probably six religions. There was the Catholics, the Christians, the Mormons, the Muslims, the Jewish people, and then Jehovah's Witnesses, because our neighbor was a Jehovah's Witness, and I never understood that. I didn't understand anything about the different religions, but I did know that they had one thing in common. They all didn't like gay people. They all felt it was either dirty, a sin, a mortal sin, you were an unclean person, but either way, you weren't welcome in their church, and you weren't welcome in their heaven. And while growing up, I knew there was something different about me. I was beginning to understand that I was gay, and that being gay was the insult you said to other boys to get the fight started. When I was writing this originally, I wrote down 10 times in my speech that I didn't want to be gay, because that's really the theme I had when I was growing up, that I didn't want to grow up gay, because I knew there was something wrong with you. And I always thought that if someone knew I was gay, I would lose my family, I would lose my friends, I wouldn't be part of the group. So I pretended I wasn't. I grew up pretending I was straight. I also knew growing up that I wanted to be a father, because I wanted to have kids and show them love, unconditional love, and help them raise to be good people. And I knew that being gay, you couldn't have kids. You were taught, you couldn't even adopt kids. In a lot of states, it was illegal. Most of the country didn't believe that that gay people should raise children. And when I saw people on television that were gay, it was always the example of the extreme people, with men in beards wearing dresses, people on leashes. And I thought, that's really not me. That's not who I am. So I felt very alone and very isolated. I looked in the Bible. And the Bible went right to Leviticus. And Leviticus clearly said, you can't be gay. Or if you are, you should be killed. And I thought, I don't want to be killed, but I also don't want to be ostracized from my society. So throughout high school and college, I hid that I was gay. Even in college, I wouldn't even drink alcohol because I didn't want to get drunk. Because then I thought, oh, I might do something and people would know I was gay. It'd be like a big scream, look, he's gay. So that's when the idea of being in your closet really meant something to me, because you're really, that being in the closet, that was my secret. That was my skeleton. I didn't want anyone to know. It's a very stressful and lonely existence to be like that. Now, I thought, being that I wanted to be a father, I could pretend to be straight, could get married, have children, and I thought then I would end up being an unhappy person, and that would not be a good way to raise children, because you can't live your life as a lie. So I figured I was doomed to never get married, never have children, never have a family. After I graduated college, I decided that I really needed to have a relationship with God. And since we were grow up as a Catholic family, I knew I had to be a Catholic because I was born Catholic. I went through a liberal Catholic church in California. Now, liberal Catholic church is an oxymoron, but I didn't know at the time. So I went through the whole process of becoming a full member of the church. And I sat down with the Monsignor once and had a conversation with him about the Catholic Church's view on gay people. And he said, oh, we love all people, but you just can't act gay. You can't do the gay conduct. Oh, but you can be gay, just don't be gay. And I'm like, okay. So I understood that. I didn't agree with it, but that was their decision. So I said, that's fine. I mean, I had to be Catholic, so I went through the process and became a full member. A few years later, I decided that I really was going to become honest about being gay and came out as gay. And Jamie and I started a family with all of, and we're with the help of a surrogate. We were able to have 4 children that we were raising. And we were attending a liberal Catholic church in Kentucky. And when we weren't walking in wearing, holding pride flags or doing anything that was outwardly in your face gay, but we were clearly a gay family. And I remember one time we went to church when the kids were about a year old. And since I was a full member of the church, I was told that you could get communion if you were in a good position with God. And I felt God and I were good, so I was ready to have communion. So we walked up in the church. It was a big church, and there was different sections with different people handing out the communion. And so I was walking up with holding 2 infants, and Jamie was behind me holding 2 infants. And traditionally, we went to church. I would get communion, and everyone else would get a blessing. And we walked up this one time, and we stayed near the back because having kids, it's not always, you don't want to be the first in line and have them screaming. So we got to the front, and the church elder who was handing out communion, she looked at me, she looked at the kids, she looked at Jamie, looked at the kids, and when I opened my mouth to get communion, because I didn't have any free hands, she closed up the communion, turned around, and walked back up to the front of the church. That sent a clear message that we weren't welcome in that church. So Jamie and I turned around, walked right out the door of the church, and never went back. At that point, I was pretty much done with church. I thought, you know, church doesn't want us. We don't want the church. We moved to California several years later, and you've all met Shirley, and she's kind of persuasive. And she decided that we needed to be in church. So when we were in Kentucky, we were told oftentimes that we can't be a gay family. Jamie's boss told him that he better not have any photographs of him and the kids show up anywhere because it was a church-founded hospital, and they wouldn't accept that. And even though he was a great employee, they didn't want it to become an issue that he was gay. So we knew that the church wasn't welcoming to us, but Shirley decided that we really need to be in church. Now, Jamie was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and they are extremely anti-gay. So Jamie had a very stressful growing up being, when he knew he was gay, dealing with a church that was really condemning who he was. And so I thought this was not a very healthy thing for us to go back to church. But Jamie started doing research, and he had in his head that we were going to go to church. He called a number of churches. And a lot of the churches said, you're not welcome. Some said, well, you're welcome, but you can't be around the kids. Some said, you're welcome, but if you're here, just understand that we're very anti-gay. I went and met with the pastor of the large church that overlooks San Rafael, and he said, you're definitely welcome, but there's certain times in church when we're going to be preaching against gay marriage, and you just probably want to skip those services. And also, just so you know, we do cover how the abomination of gay marriage during our Sunday school, so you just need to be aware of that too. And I thought, I really don't want to be part of a church that's going to preach against what we're teaching our kids. It's almost like voluntarily entering into an abusive relationship where someone says you're fat or ugly or unworthy, or you're teaching your kids that God loves them unconditionally, and then the church is saying, well, not really. It only loves certain people. So, but then Jamie suggested one day, let's go to FCC San Rafael. And I thought, oh, okay. I mean, I was kind of thinking that all churches were the same. But we came here. We showed up one Sunday, and Jim Gerard, sitting in the third row, greeted us at the door and said, hey, friend, I don't know your name yet, but I know we'll be friends. And he gave me a hug. And I thought, wow, that's not what I expected. And then he hugged everyone in our family. And he showed us unconditional love. It was clear we're a gay family, but it was shown. Jim Girard started it, and everyone in the church followed up and said, "You're welcome here. You're loved." And that unconditional love was something unique that I hadn't experienced before. Now, if I had done research on churches, I would have actually probably picked this church anyway. In your bulletin, there's the on the inside the back cover is the open and affirming declaration that this church signed in 1995. They said that they were open and affirming before it was actually a cool thing to be openly good about gay people. And if I'd done research, we probably would have said that's the church we should go to. Now, this is not a gay church in the sense that only gay people are welcome. It's a church that welcomes everyone, regardless of your gender, your identity, your race, your economic income, anything. Everyone's welcome here. And that's unique. But that's, I think, what God taught us to do. It's to me, looking at it objectively, I think that the Christian churches are founded on the life of Christ. And it's the New Testament. And you look at the New Testament, and it's all love and forgiveness and openness. And I thought, well, why didn't this church just use that book and skip the Old Testament? I mean, why go back to all that other junk or edit it, edit out the crazy stuff and say, we've got a new book. We got a new book, and we're going to skip all the old stuff. But that's not, I mean, part of it is I understand that in order to understand Jesus' life, you have to understand what it comes from, and you have to understand a lot of the stories he tells based on what's happened in the past. I get that. And I understand that we can't change our history. The United States would love to rewrite history and remove slavery. But you really can't do that because you want to understand really the mistakes you've made in the past so you don't make them again, but also you want to understand where we come from to understand we're going to be better. So I get that. I mean, I think, but you can also, I understand also, you can use the Bible to advocate anything you want. I could take the Bible now, and if I was good at being a scholar about that stuff, I could probably come up here and give a speech as to why slavery is really what we should be doing. Because slavery is mentioned throughout the Bible as an okay thing. But it's not where we are today. So when preparing for this service today, I went back and read certain parts of the Bible. Not the whole thing. And I went through the Leviticus again. But I didn't just read the one bad sentence or the one bad section that talks about killing gay people. I read it throughout it. And it really advocates, there's 70 laws written in Leviticus. You're forbidden from committing adultery, from being gay, from blasphemy. Those are all capital offenses. Any of those result in your death. But you're also forbidden from eating shellfish, touching a dead pig, that's bacon, having your hair unkempt, mixing fabrics and clothing, getting tattoos, I'm in trouble again, going to church within 60 or 30 days of giving birth. So I thought, well, why aren't churches out protesting Red Lobster? They sell only shellfish. That's like a perfect place for them to be protesting. And also, adultery. That's on par with being gay. Yet, we have celebrities in our community now who are meeting with presidents, have very successful TV shows that are only famous because their adulterous relationship was leaked on the internet. But no one's protesting them. No one's protesting anyone who commits adultery. They only use Leviticus to protest gay people. So, but there's also a way out of certain sins you commit in Leviticus. If you can do something bad, you can bring a animal onto the altar and sacrifice it, and that erases your sin. So I know if Oak comes in here pulling a heifer, we know he did something very bad. But he'll be able to clear it up. But I also know that Lewis is going to be really concerned about our carpet after that. So I think that the bottom line is you can use the Bible to advocate anything you want if you read it selectively. So I asked myself, well, if Leviticus bans all this stuff, what does Jesus say about this? Does he ever get up there and say, I'm against gay people? No. And a lot of, Jesus is not real clear. He doesn't say, this is what I'm saying. He always tells you a story, and you're supposed to understand what he's saying by reading the story. So one of the stories he talks about that actually goes directly to Leviticus is, he says, the people bring an adulterer to him. And they say, this is an adulterer. We should put her to death. And famously, Jesus says, whoever is without sin, you throw the first stone. And everyone sort of thinks about it, and they walk away. But if you look at it a little deeper, Jesus, theoretically, is without sin. And he didn't raise a hand to her. He didn't do anything except welcome her. So that sort of sends the message that the rules in Leviticus aren't to be followed, whereas you're not supposed to be condemning others. He also says in Mark that the food you eat enters your stomach, not your heart. Therefore, the food is not the bad thing. Your heart is where the important part is. That's why we can eat shellfish. That's why you can have bacon. So now we're going to turn to our readings today and see what Jesus actually said.